Please call the next case.
Ames Center, LLC versus Soho Arlington, LLC. Michael W. Robinson, Appellant's Counsel. Timothy J. McAvoy, Appellee's Counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Robinson. I represent the appellant Ames Center, LLC, in this appeal. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, if I may, for rebuttal.
All right.
This appeal arises from a declaratory judgment action from Arlington County. Ames asked the court to declare its rights as a third-party beneficiary under provisions of a 99-year land or ground lease. The ground lease was executed in the early 1970s. It expressly contemplated that the ground would be used for a multi-story hotel that would be built to the property line. In section 24.01 of the ground lease, it imposed certain obligations on the ground lessee when an adjacent property owner undertook redevelopment or construction efforts. Ames is in fact in the process now of redeveloping the immediately adjacent property with a $300 million project that will involve the construction of two 30-story buildings on the property. After negotiations, or discussions, I should say, there were no real negotiations, but after discussions with Soho, Ames sought a declaratory judgment regarding its rights, the right of entry to perform certain work it deemed necessary. The circuit court determined that Ames was a third-party beneficiary of that provision of the ground lease and was therefore, quote, entitled to enforce such rights. And that was, of course, one of the requests for a declaration. Soho objected to that and sought a petition from this court challenging that ruling. This court denied that petition. That remains the ruling in this matter. But at the circuit court level, once the court declared that Ames was a third-party beneficiary, it essentially stopped. It did not go further, it did not declare rights, and it was concerned, or it expressed concern, that it did not see an actual denial of a right, and that without a denial of right, there was nothing for the court to do. There was nothing further to do.
Well, didn't the court say that there was a right to do whatever the lease allows your client to do?
The court did expressly say that we had the right to enforce those rights as expressed in the contract. There was still a controversy, an ongoing controversy that exists today as to what those rights are and what that means. That's why the court's ruling led to the two assignments of error. One, as to whether there is a justiciable controversy, and then what should the court have declared. So while the court said, yes, you can enforce those rights, there's the ongoing dispute of what those rights are.
But it seems that the relief that you were requesting was that the court take the language from the contract and place it in its order. Is that correct?
No. It is correct in this sense, Justice Powell. During argument, when the court had expressed its views that it didn't see any reason to declare, I guess I was trying to salvage as much as I could in what was going to be a final order, what the court had said would be its final order. So I was trying to salvage as much of a judicial decree as I could get.
Okay. I was just wondering what that would get you. That was going to be the follow-up question, but you're saying that's not what you were requesting. So without some specifics from you, how would the court know what to declare? It almost as if the court is operating in a vacuum. Tell me why it's not.
Sure, absolutely. And that sort of goes to the nub of issues. And that may not have been my best moment before a trial court as I was trying to salvage that order. But here's why it's not in a vacuum. This court, all courts, seek to declare the rights as they are expressed in the contract. Here, you have Soho saying there is no right of entry whatsoever. That's
period, until you get your permits or anything else. And your interpretation is, no, I'm contemplating this excavation, and I have a right to enter even now.
Well, I have a right even now for certain aspects, but I have a right to a declaration.
And the court gave
but
you
the
that.
Court
it gave you the right to enter the premises for purposes of inspection.
For purposes of an inspection, that had actually taken place before the court entered its final order.
Yeah, but you have the right to do it again if you want to.
For inspection purposes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you have the right to enter the property now.
Well, the court limited that there. What we don't have is a declaration of our rights that once we start the process, once we start the true redevelopment, that we have the right of entry to do the work deemed necessary for the protection and the safety of the hotel. That's what we don't have. That's what Soho continues to contest, even to the point of saying here, even when you have those permits, you don't have a right of entry at that point. They argued to Judge Fiore that if we got all of our permits, all of the planning was done, and we wanted to proceed, we still had to come to them to negotiate a permission. And in fact, they went so far as to say, and Judge, that's when we have to start talking about the compensation we would be entitled to give them that right of entry.
So help me define what it is you're asking the court to do. You want the court to enter an order that says, once you have a permit to gut the first floor, then you have the right to enter. Or do you want something that's more nebulous than that to say, once you decide what work needs to be done, you have the right to enter and perform that work?
It's much closer to the latter, Justice Powell. The request that we made that's in our brief is that the declaration should say that Ames has the right to enter upon the parcel in order to do the work Ames deems necessary to the safety and preservation of the hotel, preservation of the hotel from injury or damage, to support the building by proper foundations, so long as the work complies with the applicable provisions of the laws and ordinances of Arlington County. Because ultimately, Arlington County is going to decide in issuing permits what can and cannot be done, or what must be done.
What's the risk for you and your client, though, if you just go, look, I won this case, y'all can keep haranguing me on this, I'm not going to pay you a dime, I want it, I'm going to get my architectural plans together, my structural plans together, and when the time comes, we're going to have a bulldozer, going to come over to your property and start doing our whatever we think is reasonable. You can sue us if you want to, but I've won this. What's the risk to you guys of just taking that position?
Sure, and it would actually be a reasonable position, Justice Kelsey, with the proviso that you've got a project that you're about to borrow money and spend $300 million on.
So
having said that, I should tell the court, I mean, I originally argued to Judge Fiore and then seeking the petition that, you know, certainty is appropriate and needed even as you go into the process. If you're going to spend millions of dollars just on deciding how to design, what permits I'm going to seek, certainty is appropriate and desirable there. However, the passage of time has kind of superseded that event, and the design and the permit processing is well underway, and the permits are being sought. So are we close to that position? We probably are. However, I would tell the court that that doesn't really obviate the need for a declaratory judgment that says once you've got those permits, you can, in fact, do that, so that we are not bringing the bulldozer in.
You can do work as such person or persons shall consider to be necessary.
Correct.
Do they ever get a chance to say, well, what they're doing is not necessary at all? No reasonable person could think that's necessary. Could they preserve that aspect of their continuing opposition?
In the face of such a declaration, Justice Kelsey?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they could. And the reason they could is because 8.01.186 allows further relief. And I read that statute. I think the only way to read that statute is that it goes both ways. So if one party comes in and says, Judge, you declared rights in a certain way, and they are now about to exceed those rights, and you can put a stop to that. I think they have every right to do that. Likewise, the party that has the benefit of the declaration can say, I'm acting within the scope of what you declared, and they are impeding me.
But that's the position you're in right now. You've already been given the right. The question is enforcement. And you're asking for relief for something that hasn't come to a head yet, it seems like.
Well, here's where that's different. SOHO, in fact, says that we don't have the right. Even with permits, they take the position that we have to negotiate with them either additional permission, an easement, and, of course, you know, the elephant in the room is, of course, you have to pay us for any of that.
So if, sorry to interrupt, but so when your colleague comes up to the podium and I ask him or one of us asks him, so do they have the right to enter upon the premises for purpose of doing such work as such person or person shall consider necessary? He's going to say, no, they don't. Because if he says, no, they don't, the answer is obviously going to be, a trial judge just said you do.
When the trial judge asked that question, the answer, it took a few tries, but the answer was essentially, no, they don't, that they need more. They need something independent of Section 24.01 to proceed.
So that's really your best point, right, is that by their own statement, the conflict is still alive on what the actual clause means as opposed to whether to enforce it or not.
That's exactly right. That is correct, Justice
Kelsey. How can that possibly be a problem when the way the – and first of all, I'll say I understand what you want, but just because you want it doesn't mean you have a right to get it. You know, you love to have certainty. I understand
right.
that, but I don't know that this contract gives you certainty. Because the contract in and of itself says they can give you no entry at all and be responsible for paying for the things themselves if they want to.
They could undertake that work themselves.
They can still do that. So how can a court order them just like, you got to let them in? It's like, we don't want to do that, Judge. We want to pay for it ourselves. We don't want to let them in.
There's been no suggestion of that in any submission. And, in fact, the suggestion is the opposite. They oppose this. And they don't want anything done.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, so we don't know about what's going to happen in the future. These are all abstractions. And all we can deal with is what rights do you have under this contract?
That, of course, is exactly right.
You can't force them to make a choice now. The court can't force them to make a choice now under the terms of the contract.
Well, then the court can certainly enter the declaration that I requested and simply add to that, or do the work themselves at their own cost. I mean, that would still be a declaration of the rights. That, of course, will never happen.
Which is in the contract.
When
the court says, you know, you may enforce the terms of the contract, it's already saying that thing exactly.
If that is the case, then we should not be dealing with a recalcitrant neighbor that is saying you have no rights, you must negotiate, and that Section 24.01, standing alone, does not give you any right of entry. You must have an independent basis for that. In fact, all the debate in their brief about the term laws and ordinances came down really to the position that unless there were laws or ordinances independent of 24.01 that gave us the right of entry, they don't have to do so under 24.01. So we are still facing a situation where there is uncertainty. Am I in a far more certain position than I was before? Is my client in a better position than before the court entered summary judgment saying they were a third-party beneficiary? Absolutely in a better position. Are we still able to seek, entitled to seek a declaration of what our rights are? I think that's the heart of the Declaratory Judgment Act, to act before there is a full-blown breach. So when the court says, I don't see a denial of a right yet, Part of me wants to say, exactly. And if you make a declaration, you might not see one in the future. You still may. You may see a request for further relief. But exactly.
One minor caveat. Tell me if I'm wrong. I thought the deck action theory was you carve off damages, but you still have to show duty and breach to get a deck action ruling.
I would disagree with that, Judge. I think you have to show duty, of course. If you actually show a breach, I think you are outside the scope of a declaratory judgment. I think you're in the realm of an action for coercive relief. And the elements for coercive relief are the breach. The element for the declaratory judgment is an adverse assertion of legal rights, a conflict between the assertion of legal rights that can be decided before there is any breach. So I think that takes us outside of that.
That was the whole point of the enacting these things, was that before you had to force the issue, and this allows you to take a step back before there's a breach.
Exactly, Justice McCullough. Sometimes it's perfect, it works perfectly, sometimes imperfectly, but it gives the court a mechanism to declare rights before there has been that actual denial of a legal right.
But it's to declare rights, not to declare the breach of rights.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And the court has declared the rights. So I guess that's the thing I don't understand, because it seems like to me the court has declared what the rights are, and then it's kind of like you're saying, yeah, but they're acting like they don't want to go along with what you say, so we want you to enforce it too.
In this sense, Judge, and I'm well over, so if I may have leave to
answer
your question.
Yeah, you are. Go ahead. I
am over. But in this sense, it's not so much that I'm asking that it be enforced now, as I am saying, you declared I'm a third-party beneficiary. There remains a dispute about the scope of rights, and that can be decided now, as opposed to being decided in the future.
And when you talk about the scope, it's like, I want to come on Tuesday. The court's got to decide that now. You know, it's like, no, he can come on Tuesday. No, well, we were thinking Thursday. Well, you need to put something in there that says I can come on Thursdays.
That's where I would address that, Judge. And again, I ask leave to answer the issue. The court should not become the final arbiter of what needs to be built, what needs to be the type of underpinning, and that's not what the court is there, and it certainly should not be micromanaging a project of this type. But what the court can do is in advance to guide the parties to say, I read this provision as to say that once they have the permits, the authority to do work that they deem necessary, they have the right to enter. That's how I read it. And that's what we ask the court to do. That's what I ask this court to do. I don't see a need for further development of a record. I think the court can declare the rights. Understanding that I stand here having won part of what I wanted, which was to be a third-party beneficiary, and I'm asking the court to go further.
Right.
I appreciate the court's time and the extra time it gave me.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Justices.
May it please the court, Tim McAvoy and Cameron McAvoy, Fairfax, Virginia, for the appellee. With me is Bert Kirkland, who is the general counsel from Sutherly Hotels. He's not a member of our bar, so he's sitting behind me today. To take on some of the questions I anticipate, the principal problem that we've always had is a lack of specificity. We require specificity when we administer courts. Judges require it when they consider relief. That's how we get concrete controversies. And I go with the word concrete in this construction dispute. I
ask you this, though. I'm sorry.
You can go ahead, Justice Kelsey.
Suppose, hypothetically, I agree with Mr. Robinson's interpretation of 24.01. If any excavation, ... contemplated to be made, so we're talking about a future event, not a present event, then tenant ... is contemplated by them. So it's not happening, it's not going to be, nothing's going to happen, they're just thinking about it. then they have a right to enter for purposes of doing what they're thinking about and ultimately doing what they think is necessary, which would be digging stuff up, or you do it yourself and pay for it.
So the problem,
I take it you're not going to concede that you're willing to do anything yourself and pay for it.
I'm not willing to concede that, and here's why. And I'll start with the text of Section 2401 specifically, because 2401A, we only have to afford a right of entry to a person or persons causing or authorized to cause excavation, which in either of those cases implies permits, easements, other things which our expert below, which is part of the record, I don't have.
Well, they interpret that differently, and that's the whole point. The reason they filed the lawsuit is, what can we do? Why do we have to keep guessing, and why do we have this constant and fractious relationship with our next-door neighbor?
Yes, sir, Justice Kelsey, but from the very beginning of this case, from the complaint, and I can cite it half a dozen times in their brief now, where the best they ever did was say, basically, we want the court to enter an order incorporating the contract. At the joint appendix on page 230, the circuit court said, you really just want me to interpret, to put the contract in the order, and they said yes.
Obviously, they're saying, put it in there, and this is how we understand it. And when you go to the trial judge and say, well, we don't read the clause that you just stuck in the contract the way he reads the clause, your controversy is still alive.
Well, Your Honor, here's the issue. They've talked about how ready they are and how they're going to get permits and all this business. They have never once provided us with a bill of particulars, so to speak.
Do they need a permit? Why do they need a permit?
Because when I read 2401, it says persons causing are authorized to cause. They're not causing. In order to be a person causing, they've got to go get permits, authorizations, easements, other things that Arlington County will require.
Where does it say that? They're causing the excavation. They're hiring architects. They're hiring lawyers. They're hiring accountants. They're causing the excavation process. It hadn't been approved yet. Where does it say it has to be approved?
We have to be in compliance with all applicable laws and ordinances, which are defined to include permits, authorizations, which could be easements, things of that nature.
You have to be. The tenant
yes.
has to be in compliance, not the adjacent landowner.
Justice Kelsey, there is a dispute about that language, and you and I may have to agree to disagree. But
well, then that's the whole point. It doesn't matter how I read it, because we're not apparently being asked to do that.
But the
trial court had a controversy on your interpretation of the very clause that he interprets differently.
Yes, sir.
And he's got a million-dollar-plus project, and he wants some certainty. Isn't that what the deck action is for?
Yes, sir, but here's my point of disagreement with your proposition, which is that, as we know, the deck act, there's sort of a sweet spot, if you will, between causes of action which will determine issues, be determinative of issues, and sort of a sense of remoteness that, you know, if you have to get to a certain point within the controversy in order to be able to declare what at common law would have been an advisory opinion, because this declaratory judgment act.
He wants a right to enter your property right now. Do you deny or accept that he has that right?
It's not ripe right now, and that's the crux of our position.
You deny the right because it's not ripe, which requires an interpretation of this clause.
But that invokes this court's precedence on when is remoteness not remote, and you know, so remote that you can now raise the a flag under the Declaratory Judgment Act. They're not at that point yet, and this is
my
problem.
Tell me at what point they would be there. You started out by saying there's a lack of specificity.
Yes.
Under your read of 24.01, what is it that you think they need? What do you think this language calls for on their behalf?
For example, if there were a negotiated easement, that would be an authorization under the terms of the laws and ordinances. They haven't gotten a permit yet, although they said they could. They've admitted to the trial court they could get one. They just haven't done it. And so they haven't come to us with a permit or any other authorization.
But the provision says contemplated to be made. That's something in advance of actually going on the property. You don't need a permit to just walk on the property and think about it.
That's true, Justice Kelsey. But again, I come back to, we only have to afford a right of entry to persons causing, which they're not causing, or authorized to cause. To be authorized to cause, you have to have a permit.
But go back to the causing. If they showed up on your property tomorrow or later on today with bulldozers in hand, they would then be causing.
But here's why this court shouldn't rule prematurely on that if you're inclined to do it, is because part of the record includes Grayson Haynes, who's been doing land use law in Northern Virginia for as long as I've been alive, which is 56 years, and no offense to Grayson, maybe a few years less, but he has opined, and it's part of the record, that certain easements and other permissions will be required from Arlington County that will require our consent, and we maintain that this language doesn't support a right
to
compel.
So you can deny the right by denying consent to those easements? That's your position?
It is my position.
Well, then don't we need a judge to rule on that? Because we're not ruling on it.
Well, I don't think this court should rule on it, but here's my point. Until they come forward with more particulars, they're trying to turn a contract into a court order, as I said. And that invokes a danger that this court has warned against in cases that include Charlottesville Area Fitness Club operators versus Albemarle County Board of Supervisors.
Well, how about going back to Justice Powell's question this afternoon after hearing all of us talk, they have a bulldozer and it's getting ready to cross the boundary line. And all they want to do is scrape up, I don't know, something. Are you going to say they violated 24.01?
We're going to say they violated the Virginia Constitution and probably a host of other laws and that they're trespassing
on property.
All right, well,
that's what they want to know is whether or not some judge agrees with you.
But I come back to this, Justice Kelsey, and I appreciate your questions, and this is a great debate, but I can accept everything you're saying, but still point to the case law that says you don't get a declaratory judgment if you're in a zone of remoteness, if you will, that is to the left or right, however you want to look at it, of a certain point. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but a bulldozer on your property, an inch over your property boundary is not a remote issue.
But I think that's a different question as to whether there's a justiciable controversy, which is the burden's on them in the first instance to say, look, we've got permits, we've got permissions or easements for
this.
They
say they don't need permits. They say they have the authority to go on the property right now and do what's necessary because they're contemplating work.
Then my suspicion would be we'd be in front of Judge Fiore again with a petition for an injunction.
But isn't that why it was right for the judge to declare more than you're a third-party beneficiary? Because there's this wide gap between your read of this, they can't come on unless they have a permit, and their read of this, we can come on today because we would be causing. So wouldn't that make it right for the judge to declare their rights as to who's right, who's wrong?
I think I must concede that it could ripen. But the problem that we've had from the beginning is that they've never come in with specifics and said, here are the things we want to do that would bring it out of a zone of being too remote into that category or that sweet spot, if you will, of cases that are appropriate for declaratory judgment.
May I ask you a practical question?
Yes, sir.
If you want to go to the county and get a permit, Would it be possible for the county to say, well, I need some preliminary soundings, readings, excavations, whatever, before I even allow you? You know, you want to build this big structure, but I'm going to need some preliminary work before I even sign off on this, make sure it's structurally sound, neighbor's not going to be damaged, whatever. So what I'm getting at is, might they have to do, before they're in all kinds of permitting mode, actually have to do some examinations that would require some excavation or not?
That's beyond my ken, to be honest with you, but that's certainly within the realm of probably likelihood.
If you don't know the answer,
I don't know the answer, and I don't want to bind my client to that. But
I thought I read that the court had entered an order that allowed them to enter your property for purposes of inspection.
Yes, sir, and that's what the trial court did, and they went in and exercised that right. So I've already lost on that issue.
Okay, so this whole thing of they're not allowed on your property. The ship has sailed on that.
The ship has sailed to that extent, yes, sir.
Right. So you know that they're allowed on your property for purposes of inspections. So I guess I'm trying to understand the position you're taking, which seems to me to be honestly not helpful to you, but you're being more, I don't know, you seem to think that you don't have to follow the court's orders or something.
Well, no, sir. We followed it to the letter. The court ordered that there'd be one visit for an inspection. Then the court's words were to Mr. Robinson, who is in fact my colleague, I've known him for many decades now, he wanted them to quote unquote tee up those things that they wanted to do. What rights do you want to exercise? What activities do you want to undertake to take this from a sort of a zone of abstraction into something more concrete? Because there is a serious issue that I'd like to get to. I think the circuit court was very skeptical, as are we, that you'll recall from the record there was a construction rights agreement that they tried to get us to sign that would have required us or that would have had us agreeing to all manner of easements and permissions and different kinds of activities that go beyond 24.01. For example, the use of a tower crane that's going to swing over our property and be loud and disruptive. They wanted air rights. You know, I think the circuit court was skeptical or suspicious, as we are, that the lack of specificity that we've seen thus far is a way to obfuscate or to get an order that says we have to do whatever they deem appropriate. They're going to start deeming all kinds of things appropriate.
24.01 says any, quote, other building operation. Aren't all those things building operations?
If you look at the titles, Justice Kelsey, to the whole 24.01, it speaks of, I think, excavation and shoring. Yes, excavation and shoring, and we read all of this in peri materia.
No, it says excavation, subsurface construction, remodeling, or other building operation, herein collectively referred to as an excavation.
Yes, sir, but I think if you look at this entire 24.01, including the caption, excavation and shoring, it clearly speaks to safety and preservation of the foundations, walls, or structures. That's the essence of this thing. And so I don't believe they have the ability. This isn't for their general construction. It doesn't give them general construction rights as to our property or theirs.
Bottom line is the fact we have such an intense argument on what this clause means. How does that not lead to the conclusion it's we need to come to closure on this? We're not at closure.
We may be able to come to closure if they come forward with details, and this is what I was getting at. I think the circuit court was concerned. We raised a concern that they would take an order from the circuit court that said something as general as what they were asking for, because they never asked for relief more specific than enforce that an order that, I'm paraphrasing now, that whatever we deem necessary we can do. We said, hey, are they going to take that to the zoning department and say, Judge Fiore says they can do this, that, and the other thing, which they're not entitled to do under 24.01A, but that they'd like to do for some other reason. One example was the boom of the crane swinging around, an air rights agreement. Are we going to be de facto giving them an easement? And if this was language purported to be an easement, you'd have to strictly against them, by the way, under our case law. We shouldn't
well, then
be...
Isn't that a good question right there? Does this language, properly construed, permit a certain thing that they've already said they want to do that you don't want them to do? Shouldn't the judge sit down and say, all right, let me figure that out. I hadn't gotten that far.
So our entire...
Let me stop you right there.
Yes, sir.
Because wouldn't the answer to that be very fact-specific?
Because
whether or not they can do that is going to depend on whether or not it's necessary that they do it.
It's very, very fact-specific.
It's going to have to be dependent upon whether or not you say, I see what they're going to really do. Before I let that happen, I just soon do it myself and pay for it, because I can't shut down my business for 3 months for them to do that.
Yes, sir.
And in my mind, the whole reason why the judge was having hesitancy in ruling on, like, letting them say, oh, yeah, you can start a bulldozer on Tuesday and bulldoze the place. It's like, I can't say that. I can't give
them
an order that says that they can go on the property whenever they want to and do whatever they want to do.
Yes, sir.
Because there are all these other restrictions that are in the contract.
I believe that was exactly Judge Fiore's point. He said
I can only give them what the contract allows
yes,
me
sir.
To give them.
And I think to sort of synthesize what you're saying with what Justice Kelsey's saying, Judge Fiore was saying, give me the details so I can sort this out, so that I can balance the rights of the parties, I can make an appropriate decree that doesn't reach beyond what I say 24.01, not me, but him, just Judge Fiore, that doesn't reach beyond it, but that honors the contract. And the problem is that, like I said, I could read it into the record now, but at least half a dozen places, all they ever have said is enter an order that basically parrots the contract. And as Judge Fiore said, that's not what declaratory judgment is about. That doesn't narrow issues. It doesn't bring clarity. It doesn't stave off future litigation. It encourages it. All it would do, I think, Justice Kelsey, is they would now come in and say, well, we have a right to we deem everything, and we'd be running in for applications for TROs and things. But the burden would now be on us to show irreparable harm, and the burden should be on them in an area of the law which we all say has to be circumspect, because it is in derogation of the common law. We don't want to lean over into advisory opinions. Judge Fiore wanted to see concrete issues. What exactly is it do you want to do? Do you have a permit? Do you have an easement? Does Arlington County require easements and permissions, as Grayson Haynes says they will? That would require my client's consent. These are all the kinds of things that have to go into the mix in order to reach a just result. And that's the problem that we have with their approach, their sort of a shotgun approach or carte blanche approach to this thing. And Judge Fiore agreed with us, and that's why he did what he did, from what I can tell. And so I don't think it's appropriate to, so I think the answers to everybody's questions are sort of implicit in what I've just been saying. At least I hope so. And I'm happy to try to answer any other questions you might have. And I did want to say I'm happy to be back live in person, and especially with my longtime colleague, Mr. Robinson, and it's been a pleasure. So if you have any other questions, I'm happy to address them if I can.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Please call the next case.